Hello, I'm Avery or Hazel or Kylie. You can just pick one, I don't care.
Hello, I am Lily.
And welcome to the From the Closet podcast. Today we are covering The Parent Trap, the one from 1998. We already covered the one from 1961, so if you want to go back in time, you can watch that episode.
I thought you have to make a time machine first.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody already has a clock. So,
okay.
due to technical reasons, I had to spin the wheel before recording, and that may be what happens for the foreseeable future. So the wheel has landed on The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1.
Oh my god. I swear the wheel has just been, like, avoiding that movie like the plague.
No, it's been avoiding Bolt like the plague.
Oh, God, you're right.
I have a friend who's been looking forward to us covering Bolt for, like, years now.
Sorry.
It's funny. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, anyway, so you can join us tomorrow for that. You can join us next week for something, and Dragon Ball Z Abridged Season 2. And yeah, I mean, that does it for that. Obviously, this podcast will contain spoilers for this version of The Parent Trap and likely the original as well if we decide to talk about it.
One second. Sorry, I felt like I was going to sneeze.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't know how spoilers really even affect this movie.
It's a weird movie, because it's a remake,
That's true.
At the same time, it feels like a more of a from-the-ground-up remake than remakes of other movies that you typically see. The characters all have different names, the plot is, in many ways, very different.
Like, the plot is the same, but how it goes around it is very different.
The plot is the same, the execution is very different, and it has different narrative beats than the original movie does.
But, like, if you took, like, what actually happens throughout the movie, it's very, like, almost one-to-one with the original movie.
No, like, it actually has different narrative beats. Like, it's the same story, like, same ending, same beginning, but, like, what happens in between those is very different. Actually, you know what it reminds me of?
What does it remind you of?
Final Fantasy VII.
Interesting. I can see that. We are in the spoiler section, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, I'll let you call it.
Yeah, so that's just, like, generally, if you want to understand what I mean when I say there's probably going to be spoilers for both versions, this is why. Because the stories are kind of pretty different, but also the same. But anyway, if you want to avoid spoilers, there is a link in the description to Just Watch, which will have all the places you can rent, purchase, or stream this movie. Our link is to the U.S. version of the site, but if you use the app, it will automatically redirect you to your country's page. If you use the website, you'll be able to change the country from the website page itself. Also in the description is a link to our Patreon, where you can vote on future episodes of this show and get access to episodes early, as well as early access to episodes of our sister show, Off the Shelf, which is about books. So, like, that's always a plus. Plus, that podcast is exclusive to YouTube and Patreon. Also in the description is a link to Anchor.fm, which itself will have links to every platform this podcast is on, as well as links to our Instagram and Twitter, and I'm really, really questioning why we still have a Twitter.
I question why we have a Twitter literally every time I go to the page and see zero notifications.
Yeah, like, I almost want to say we could just get rid of it. But anyway, on those platforms, you can be notified when we release a new episode.
And that would be that. If you want to not be spoiled for this movie and the previous movie that this movie is being remade, then you can leave it this way.
Yeah, the door's over there. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I want, I waited until we got to this section to talk about how I don't really, like, a lot of this movie is really the same as the last one. Like, obviously, the different characters make the interactions far different. But the story beats are actually super similar. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Some of them are similar. So, these, both parents send their daughters to summer camp, right? They butt heads, yes. Through different methods this time that make more sense. Pranks start to happen. They get shoved off to this, cabin meant for, I'm gonna call this the get-along cabin. They realize that they're actually twins, so they cut off hair, add piercings, you know, that stuff.
I think the hair cutting and the ear piercing, or actually, I think maybe just the ear piercing only happened in this version.
Yeah, I know the hair cutting, struggling at if the piercing appeared. I didn't think so. I just wanted to mention that. So, and then they go off on their own. The husband has this new girlfriend that is really into his money. And then the other sister is like really, you know, engaging with their mom. The dad's the one left with the dad is like, come on, we gotta hurry up. The one with the mom is like, no, I have to stay here right now. Eventually, more time passes, and then time's run out. They have to meet together. So the mom finds out. The mom goes to where the dad is. Squabbling happens, obviously. And then they mix each other up to find, so no one can figure out who they are. Camping trip. Oh, the girlfriend has to go on the camping trip instead of the wife.
I actually remember speaking about the camping trip and how this version makes it a lot more clear. Like, it makes the girlfriend going on the camping trip make a lot more sense. I can't remember what they did. I can't remember what they did in the original, but I do remember commenting that the remake made it make a lot more sense.
Obviously, the actual hell spawn of the girlfriend just couldn't stick it up to a camping lifestyle. So, they ran.
Yeah, there's a little more to it, though, here. There's, like, more beats here that weren't in the original. Like, the girlfriend, like, giving the dad an ultimatum. Like, choose between me and your kids, which is just a bad call there. Really bad call.
Yeah. I do actually appreciate something that the husband said to the ex-wife at this moment, was that he should probably thank the kids at some moment. Is he really?
Yeah, I really love that moment because, like, it shows that, he sees the kids basically revealed her true nature.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, he can't show that sort of weakness to the kids right now, you know. They did technically do quite a lot of bad things to that person, but deep down, he is grateful.
Yeah. I mean, I would be too if, like, I don't know, if I had kids and they stopped me from marrying someone who was that.
Look, I'm just saying, if, like, the stars aligned perfectly and my life almost matched this movie, I'm not sending my daughter to summer camps. I just can't take that risk.
But there are many other things in this movie that make the suspension of disbelief a lot easier than it is in the original. In particular, there's the element of time. In the original, they were only in the isolation cabin for 4 weeks. In this movie, they are in there for like 7.5.
I thought this whole entire thing was just 6 weeks, though.
No, the summer camp was 8 weeks.
Oh, interesting. I was 2 weeks off.
Yeah. And it, like, they go into the isolation cabin after just, like, 3 days of camp.
I will be honest, they held my interest only a little bit with the poker scene, because poker.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty great. I thought you would enjoy that scene.
I wish they were playing a bit more rounds of poker, you know? It was just all bluffing, no cards.
And it was pretty obvious that Hallie was cheating. No way in hell did she get a royal straight flush.
I mean, it's only cheating if you got caught.
No, I'm pretty sure it's still cheating even if you don't get caught.
I mean, who's to say if it was actually cheating? Just extremely lucky. No proof.
Sure. I also really love the fencing match. That was pretty cool. I appreciate how this movie makes the girls butt heads a lot more than the original does. Buy their distaste for each other.
The original really did just, like, you look like me. I hate you. And this movie...
Yeah.
There was way more of a rivalry.
Yeah, like, they clearly established... They clearly made it much more believable than just, oh yeah, you look like me, therefore I hate you. It was so dumb.
Oh, God, yeah. As much as there's a lot of this movie I just do not care about, and that's by design. Because, obviously, I don't like this genre of movies, and there's nothing that the movie producer can really do to help that.
And then, like, okay, so... one thing I do want to claim about is that the first half of this movie... is extremely bloated with licensed music. It feels like half of the first half of the movie has a song playing over it.
Interesting. And that's just thing I've really yeah. saw that, but makes sense.
Yeah, like I actually kind of got annoyed by it. Now, that said, there is one song that they used incredibly well and actually got a chuckle out of me that, like, because they made a reference that I never caught until this viewing.
Interesting. Before you say it, I just want to talk about how licensed music in movies can actually help it. And honestly, as a weird example it is, I want to point to Lilo and Stitch. Because that music... like, how you hear it is in-universe. It is Lilo...
I think it's funny that you make...
Sorry.
I think it's funny that you make that comparison because there is literally an Elvis reference in this movie. Because you remember, during the pranks, there's that scene when, like, all the water balloons are falling down towards Annie. And, like, she finally gets hit with the really big one, and she says, that girl is the, without a doubt, the most awful, evil, vile thing that ever walked the planet. And then, basically, Hallie just mimics Elvis saying, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I'll be honest. I forgot. I know it's supposed to be referencing something. I knew what I was referencing. I just forgot.
Yeah. But the reference that I remembered earlier. So they're playing Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. And they're doing this while Hallie and her mother are walking to their mother's studio where she, like, designs wedding gowns and stuff.
Hmm.
And on their trip, they're walking across a crosswalk, and there is a freeze frame. And that freeze frame is meant to be a reference to the Abbey Road album cover, the album by the Beatles. And if I'm not mistaken, Here Comes the Sun is on that album.
Clever.
Yeah, that's a really cool reference. And then they also do reference the original at one point when they're at the hotel. I believe it's Hallie is just kind of humming to herself on the way to an elevator. And the song that she's humming is the musical number from the original.
Oh, is that the... Wait, is that the intro to the first Parent Trap?
I don't think it's the intro, no. I'm talking about, like, when... what were their names? Susan and something else? They were, like, performing for their parents? It's that song. Yeah.
I just remember that weird intro to that first movie. I'm like, this ain't it, fam. But...
yeah, that intro was weird.
I'm glad that they changed it for this movie.
This movie has a much better intro because it sets up a lot of things. Like, it even sets up the wine, and that comes back later in the movie. It's just, I don't know, that thread worked really well. I also really appreciate how they took out literally all of the all of the problematic elements, except, I guess, the initial concept. That the original movie had. Like, we don't have racism, we don't have sexism, there's no child abuse. While there is intimate partner violence, it's very clear from this movie that it was just the one incident, and that is salvageable.
And whereas the first movie... It almost sounds like an accident as well.
Yeah, like, in the first movie, it was very clear that they had a pattern of intimate partner violence. And in this movie, it was like, they married young, they argued, she threw a hairdryer and left. Like, it was one incident.
Yeah, but it's also a hairdryer. Those don't... I definitely can explain why that would probably hurt.
Yeah, it would definitely hurt. But at the same time, like I said, it's one incident, and a relationship can be salvaged as long as it's not a pattern. If it's a pattern, you just need to get out.
Though, there's another thing about divorce, and if it really comes to, like, divorce, I mean, no one wants to do that. Have you ever heard how much paperwork that is? It's a nightmare. Lawyers are nightmares. So if it actually comes to that point, then I don't think another relationship could ever last without a relapse.
I kind of disagree. There are a lot of times where people do divorce, and then they get back together, and things are better. Like, they actually last throughout the entire time. It very much depends on where the people are in life and, like, true. Their mental state and everything.
I should say, I have to admit that you're right. But I'm also going to say that a fantasy, right? You know, we all think about, like, oh, what if this person, you know, they actually loved each other, so they're going out of divorce to be with each other. And while it can work, more times than not, it just doesn't.
Yeah, well, I would argue that the point of movies is to escape into a fantasy.
That is true, but, I mean, I think it's less of a fantasy for, like, parents and more fantasy for kids to be able to do that, and then some would actually, like, think that they just can.
Yeah, I think that is the potential issue with this movie. Now, that said, while it can send a harmful message to kids, something that's hit me recently is, how likely is it that kids would ever be able to even attempt this?
Oh, probably. Extremely, extremely. Oh my god, this is so unlikely. But there are other circumstances where people, you know, this can be brought up.
Yeah, like, I think the way this story is told, it's like extremely, extremely unlikely for this to happen, because you have to have twins who are separated as children, like young children, young enough that they wouldn't even remember each other, and then have them be sent to the same summer camp and actually find out that they're twins. This is incredibly unlikely.
Exactly. But there are other situations where twins know about each other and can try to convolute to bringing their parents closer.
I think in most of those situations where the twins do know about each other, the parents wouldn't be keeping them apart anyway.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, so, we won't be getting into hijinks of pretending to be each other, but there will still be stuff like, you know, you've got to be, you know, and something else I've been thinking about, too, and obviously you correct me where I go wrong here, but it can also give kids false hopes, too. Like, their parents will just get back together and may even question why they ever, you know, broke up to begin with. And I start to see a lot of these things like, oh, yeah, why do we ever break up? Why did my parents break up? Sometimes the kids can blame themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's very much an issue. I do like that in this movie, neither one of the kids ever actually seems to blame themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. At the same time, I did appreciate in Infinity Train when Tulip did, like, question if she was at fault. But at the same time, they were both Infinity Train and this were trying to tell two different stories. Part of Tulip's journey was realizing that, no, these kinds of things just happen and you're not at fault.
And that, and there's a reason why I like Infinity Train's type of storytelling better.
Well, Infinity Train's not romance, so. I mean you can argue maybe too. Jesse and Lake counts as a romance, but
I don't even know what Infinity Train counts as, other than, I guess, coming of age. It's like, creepy number appearing on my hand genre.
Ah, yes. That genre. With
I know,
all
a movie
of
that
one
can
show.
Fit into that. In time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think that number just appears on their hand. They're literally born with it, and they have it their entire life.
Yeah, but it is a creepy number appearing on their arm.
Yeah, tells you when you're gonna die.
Ugh, creepy, am I right?
Yeah. but, I don't know, okay, so, apart from all of that, like, I think this movie has aged a lot better than the original, simply because they shaved off all of that garbage. And even managed to still tell some of the same jokes, like convincing Meredith that there were mountain lions that were going to attack her. Like, they managed to still do that without being accidentally racist. So,
that was a funny joke.
Yeah. I also love the sugar water thing. That one was... I'm pretty sure that one was not in the original.
No, I thought that was in the original.
You know, I
like, keep mosquitoes away. I feel like there was definitely a moment where she was handed something that was supposed to keep mosquitoes away, but really just repelled them.
She did mention that she was getting bitten a lot by mosquitoes, but there was no it was just a mention. There was no setup for a joke in there at all. There was no joke even used here. Whereas in the remake, they took that from the original and made a joke out of it.
I mean, I don't remember a lot of stuff from the original anyway, so.
We covered that, a long time ago. I'm actually glad it took us a while to cover this movie so that, you could, not have the original taint your thoughts of this version so much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't talked a lot about this movie, at least how I really feel about it. And it carries a lot of this, same problems for me as the original, but that's just, this movie was never made for me. No one's looking at me like, yes, let's target them with a romance movie. No. I cannot do romance movies. I get way too distracted from them. And it's really hard for me to finish them.
I will say this. I know you found the movie boring, but, we've covered other movies on this show.
Boring is a harsh word, and in some aspects I will agree with that, but at the same time, it did entertain me a few times, which is a lot more than I can say about other movies
The original?
No, I was actually going to say Incredible Hulk. Yeah, Incredible Hulk.
Thor the Dark World.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Loki was there.
Loki is what makes that movie a tolerable watch.
Yeah. So, I say boring because I don't know any other word that could, carry the same amount of, how I feel. But, when I call a movie like Incredible Hulk boring, I just find that so, nauseating, you know? It's like wanting to go to sleep. This movie, it's just boring. You know what I mean?
I think I kind of get, the sense here is that the movie, really, I guess the best thing to say here is, the movie is just not for you.
Yeah.
And, I knew that going in that this movie wouldn't be for you. We kind of established long after I put the original on the wheel that romance movies aren't your thing. I mean, I think even with Love, Simon, as much as you wanted to like that movie, you just couldn't.
Couldn't, yeah. It's definitely an interesting thing. And there's some romance movies I like. I mean, I guess when there has a little bit more than just romance.
I mean, this movie does have the relationship between the twins and them developing their relationships with their parents. And that I find to be entertaining.
Yeah, but that's not Blue Birds. That's not animated blue birds.
Okay, sure.
I always wondered, like, there's some romances I like, and then some romances I don't. I don't understand, like, where it all lines up.
Yeah, because like I know we discussed recently how you were really, really liking how like the romance between Fitz and Simmons was developing.
I think I like romance shows, like romance and shows, a lot more because they have the time to take things slow. In movies, you really have to speed a lot of that stuff up. You just don't have the time to waste when it comes to movies.
Well, I mean, there's also situations like Tony and Pepper in the MCU, where
That is true.
that's a slow burn, but then they also have the time because it's not just
One
one
movie.
movie.
But also, you have books of the Percy Jackson series. I loved Percy and Annabeth.
I mean, Percy and Annabeth is one of the most well-written romances ever, and it's not even a romance series.
I think that's also why I liked it. I think romance
But
and
yeah.
non-romance material is another thing I love. Like, I
So
like the romance,
this.
but I don't want the entire thing to be the romance, you know?
Yeah. I will say this movie does have quite a bit of nostalgia, but I'm trying to be objective here. And yeah, the first half does feel bloated with so much licensed music, and it feels like they rely too heavily on montages at times.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. Weirdly so, too.
But, I mean. Yeah, and then, like, of course, the initial concept of this movie is potentially harmful as well, especially to kids. And unfortunately, this is a Disney movie, and kids are going to be watching it.
I'm wondering how this will age in 20 years, and honestly, I just wonder if people just forgot about it.
I think people have, because. Like, I don't know, the original aged so bad. This movie just feels like a, okay, this happened.
Definitely, absolutely. It comes and goes, and like, yeah, I just watched a movie.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see any kind of outrage. Like, if there's any movie that we've covered recently that I expect might age poorly, it's Zootopia, honestly. Zootopia is the most likely to age poorly out of recent movies
Honestly,
we've watched.
I would definitely expect like the original to get an outrage if people actually cared about this movie, which is the grand total of zero.
Well, the thing is, the original already had its outrage. Like,
Really?
that already happened.
But it didn't have a Twitter outrage, did it?
I don't think it needs that.
Nah. I mean, if it got blown up on Twitter, that'd be an afternoon. Just looking at it blown up, having a nice hot chocolate in my hand. Why not?
Twitter itself is already blowing up, so who cares?
One explosive and a keg factory. I love it.
Yeah. I also the dog has more presence in this movie. I figured you would have enjoyed
Oh,
that.
right. Actually, there is one. I compl Thank you for reminding me of that. The movie got rid of one of the plot point. One of the plot holes. Or did it? I
Yeah, the dog
forgot.
not.
Yeah, the
It
dog is not
did.
present during the when they tried to switch. When they tried to act like each other and make it confusing. That was like
And the.
just before the camping trip.
Yeah, and I love that, the. Bleh. What. I'm trying to figure out my words. I love that the dog actually doesn't recognize Annie, because, I don't know, he's never seen her.
And, I will give this to both movies. I have to be honest, I do love the fact that we get a realistic dog. Like, the dog ain't taking no shit. The dog, because a dog barely uses its eyes. So, just because they look similar, that doesn't mean anything to a dog.
Alright, well, I think that wraps up everything that I want to say with this movie.
I definitely would feel the same.
Alright, so, critic ratings. So, I guess, you know, I'm following the same order I always follow, but this one just starts with the lowest one first for some reason. So,
okay.
IMDb gives this movie a 6.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 86%. Common Sense Media gives it 4 out of 5. And 91% of Google users like this movie.
91? That's a little bit high for Google users, even on a good day. I guess it's for me. And I guess this is probably one of the first times where, like, usually I rate a movie a little bit higher than you do. But this is, I guess, a little bit opposite, because honestly, this movie is a movie. And while I cannot deny how much I want to do something else, I actually struggle putting it any, like, I would rather watch this movie than The Last Unicorn, because at least it doesn't confuse me. So,
that's fair.
Honestly, I think 6.4.
Nintendo. I'm giving this movie a 7.8.
Honestly, from your viewpoint, that's honestly understandable.
And you know, another thing that I caught in this movie for the first time, there is a reference to Concorde. And Concorde was a airplane manufacturer. They made they made supersonic passenger airplanes for international travel.
Huh.
They are now defunct. But I thought that was interesting.
Well, this movie is from the 90s.
Hallie specifically says, did you know that Concorde can get you here in half the time?
Oh. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. Unfortunate, but whatever.
Rest in peace, Concorde.
Yeah, with that being said, join us tomorrow for The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1, and join us next week for something, and Dragon Ball Z Abridged Season 2. Yeah, we don't know what it is. You'll find out tomorrow what it is. Of course, we won't find out for a bit, because we've got other stuff to record.
Oh, I get a vacation. Well,
but,
a few days.
But after all that, I've been Avery, that's been Lily, and we will be seeing you.